بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. This is the second lecture on the prevention and treatment of depression. And certainly the prevention and treatment of depression will have to entail talking about predestination, which is what we did. And there were many questions about the issue of predestination. I tried to answer them as much as possible. I just want to alert you to one thing, which is to respect your limitations. You know, as a human being, each one of us, we human beings, should respect our limitations. We think that we can, or we have to comprehend it so that it is, you know, easy like water. It is like drinking water. Predestination is an issue that is complex. It is the thread that connects the pearls. It's an issue that comprehending it 100% may be beyond you. Yet you have to believe it 100% as conveyed to you from Allah and His Messenger. What is it that you comprehend 100% so that you want to comprehend predestination 100%? And who are we? We just have to, you know, look in the mirror. You are a very, very weak creature. How do you make up your mind? How do you acquire knowledge? Acquire knowledge and convictions and so on. Through data that you get from your senses. Your vision, your hearing, your touch, your smell, and your taste. Those are your five senses, right? And the data that you get from your five senses, is it complete? It is extremely deficient. It's just like we have to stand for a while, to pause for a while, and ask ourselves, who are you? The data that you're getting is extremely... They talk about animals talking across continents through waves that we cannot hear, sound frequencies that we cannot hear. Most of the rays of light you cannot see. You can't see. You can't see anything that is infrared or ultraviolet. You're only limited between the infraviolet and ultraviolet, above red and below violet. You can't see anything else. Most of the rays you cannot see. Most of the sound frequencies, you're limited to a certain range of decibels that you can hear. Anything below, anything above, you cannot hear. And the same applies to the rest of your senses. So if your data, you know, if the mind is the processor, and the mind, which is your processor, is getting very deficient data, how do you expect this mind? Which is in and by itself deficient, after getting the deficient data to make absolute to make absolute conclusions or to reach to absolute conclusions in issues that are of the unseen, that are beyond us. It is like one of the sheikhs once said, you know, the people who talk about, you know, the existence of Allah and so on and so forth, and they say, you know, I can't see Him, I can't touch Him, I can't hear Him, then how can I believe in Him? It's like someone who puts himself in a dark room and covers himself with a blanket and then says, you know, like someone in Yemen, for instance, who, you know, walks at night into his house, walks into his room, dark room, covers himself with a blanket, and then he says, they talk about the Americas, I can't see them. Where are the Americas? I don't believe in the Americas. I don't believe in China. Where is China? Whether you are in a dark room, under the blanket, in your house, in Yemen, you're not going to be able to see China. And if you talk about the existence of God, then you have to understand your limitations. All of these manifestations of His existence, if they're not enough for you, then you have a huge problem. Because who brought this to existence? is the question that you should ask yourself. The issue of predestination is also an issue that is extremely complex that you may not be able to completely comprehend. Yet, there are certain things that are clear to every sane person. One of these things is that we're here. The other thing is that we are obviously being tested. You know, this whole creation is being created for us, the anthropic principle that we talked about before. Therefore, there is a wisdom of our creation. There is a reason, cause, behind our creation. And we are currently being tested. And His will supersedes our will. Yet, it is extremely obvious that His will supersedes ours. And as we said, we do have a will. Do you remember that game that we played? Bring this watch from here. So we do have a will. It is superseded by His will. He created this universe. We're here for a test. All of these are facts. Everything that I said now is a given. You know. So just deal with this. Why can't we deal with this? That we're already here. We were created. His will supersedes ours because there's so much that we're not in control of. Yes, we do have a will because we proved it here. This is will. Here. Bring it back, you know, if He permits. Here. So these are all easy things. So why don't we take those things that are absolute and givens and we agree on them, and then of these big facts, small in number, but they're big facts, we can start to work, you know. We have a will, so we are responsible. So let us use this will for His service because He created us and we're here and we're being tested. So let's not waste time and let us try to get to the end of the race. That is what, you know, sanity would mandate on us to try to walk in this direction. Yet, if there are certain things that we cannot completely comprehend, what is it that you completely comprehend? Do you comprehend are you aware of the movements of your intestines now when you're sitting? Are you aware of your heartbeats? Are you in control? Do you know how your heart beats? Even if you're a physician, even if you're a cardiologist, do you really know the bottom of it? No, you don't. Even if you are a cardiologist sitting here, do you really know everything about, you know, those muscles and how they work and how the heart beats and all of this, and they keep on having discoveries every day. Discovery means what? It means something that you were ignorant of and you came to know. So you, the top cardiologists in the whole world, were ignorant of this new discovery and now you've discovered it. And then tomorrow you'll discover something else, and after tomorrow you'll discover something else, and so on. So aren't we limited? And shouldn't we respect the limitations? I think we should. I mean, sanity, you know, is to know the limitations. Is to know the limitations. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is to know the limitations. You see, you can be very intelligent and not knowing your limitations, that will get you in trouble. You can be much less intelligent, but knowing your limitations and knowing how to move within your limitations wisely, and then you can certainly do very well this way. So I think that understanding the limitations is extremely helpful in this regard. The other issues that will help us, you know, prevent and treat distress and sadness include knowing that all people are tried. You're not alone. You're not alone. And many times, the catastrophe that befell you is much smaller than other people's problems. And many times you see that they're doing well and so on, but if you know about their lives and, you know, the offer is made to you to exchange, you would not exchange. Because that person that seems to be, you know, on top of it, you know, as they say, deen and dunya, you know, he has it both, he's on top of it, that person may be having cancer at this point. And if you're offered to exchange lives with him, you would not accept the offer. So the poet says, "فَاصْبِرْ لِكُلِّ مُصِيبَةٍ وَتَجَلَّدِي وَاعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْمَرْأَ غير مخلدي واصبر كما صبر الكرام فإنها نوب تنوب اليوم تكسف في غدي. من لم يصب ممن ترى بمصيبة هذا سبيل لست عنه بأوحدي. فإذا ذكرت مصيبة ومصابها فاذكر مصابك بالنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he says, من لم يصب ممن ترى بمصيبة. Who was not afflicted out of all of the people that you see? Who was not afflicted with tragic catastrophe? You know, loss of a child, loss of a parent, loss of a loved one, loss of job, loss of wealth, this or that. Who is not afflicted? هذا سبيل نستعنه بأوحادي. This is a path that you're not the only treader of. There are so many people who treaded this path before you. فإذا ذكرت مصيبة ومصابها فاذكر مصابك بالنبي محمد. And if you remember your disaster, remember the greatest disaster that befell you with the loss of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the other issue also that could be very helpful is that you have to know, and this is part of the last point will lead us to this point, because فَإِذَا ذَكَرْتَ مُصِيبَةً وَمُصَابَهَا فَذْكُرْ مُصَابَكَ بِالنَّبِيِّ مُحَمَّدِ. Know that there is always a bigger problem. There is always a bigger disaster. And the disaster that befell you is not the biggest. Because the biggest is the disaster that will destroy your deen. Allah, the poet says, وَكُلُّ كَسْرٍ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ جَابِرُهُ وَمَا لِكَسْرِ قَنَاتِ الدِّينِ جُبْرَانُ. And every fracture, Allah will fix it or may fix it, except for the fracture of the deen. It is not fixable. It's not repairable. If you lose your deen, what can make you up for it? Many times we work hard so that our kids go to an Ivy League university. That is not a bad idea. And as the brother said before, and his comment was very, very to the point, that Muslims are behind in science and math and so on. We're behind. We're very behind. And it's a crime. It's a sin. Because Allah says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِرْبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Prepare all types of power so that he can be a nation a respectable nation that is not violated, that is not compromised. So Balfour, for instance, the Prime Minister of Britain, cannot give Palestine to the Jews because he was so concerned about the Jews, the suffering in Europe. Because had this been a nation that is respected and feared, I mean, no one would have taken their land. Had we been a nation that is respected and feared, you don't take their land and give it to a people because they have been oppressed in Europe. In this case, you would have taken part of Europe and given it to them. You know, they're being oppressed in Europe. Well, they're being oppressed by the Germans. Take part of Germany and give it to them. And that would be justice. But because we are a nation that is not respected and feared, this happened to us. So Allah says, prepare all types of power that you may deter them. Deter them from doing you injustice. And this includes technological and scientific power and financial and economical power and so on and so forth. And we're very behind. So it is important that we go to Ivy League universities. It is important that we make sure that our kids go to Ivy League universities if they can. Yet, if they get that certificate from Harvard and the certificate of La ilaha illallah gets pulled back from them, that's it. They are nothing. It's complete loss. Because it is infinity next to any number you put. 80 years greatest successes and accomplishments in this world. You know, you're the most accomplished in this world for 80 years. You have become the president of the United States 2 terms, and you broke the Constitution and became the president a third time. Whatever it is. And you put all of this next to infinity, and it will be zero. It will be zero. Therefore, every fracture is repairable, except for the fracture of your deen. If it is fractured, there is no fixing for this, except with tawbah. But if it is fractured permanently, and you don't repent, then that is the greatest and the ultimate loss. That is why Umar ibn Khattab used to always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was afflicted by anything. He would thank Allah that it was not bigger, and that it was not in his deen, and that he was given patience to cope with it. So just remember that there is always a bigger affliction. There is always, many times we get distressed over very trivial things, I get a lot of phone calls from people who are distressed, you know, particularly between the spouses, and this is over very trivial things. And if these trivial things can distress you, don't you think that you can wake up tomorrow and you can find your child dead in bed in the morning? It is as easy as this. You just can wake up tomorrow and you find your child dead. And then you are being so distressed now about this trivial issue that shows how small you are. Nafs hadhi lati bayna al-jambayn. Your soul, your mind, it shows the lack of integrity. The lack of integrity when people get so distressed over trivial and minor things and minor conflicts with their spouses, it just shows lack of integrity. That you are big on the outside, but you're very small inside. Your nafs, your soul, is very small. The next thing is that you know that the one who tested you is the only one who can relieve your distress, who can relieve your distress. And that is very helpful. Because you know that the one who tested you is the one who's capable of relieving your distress. So you will not be running around. You will always be going back to him. And you know, we in the Tuesday classes, we did mention this last time, and we mentioned it a couple of times. It is when your mother slaps you, if she does, and you run away from her, what do? You run back to her. That's what we said, seeking refuge in you from you. Seeking refuge in your pleasure from your anger. لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the greatest example. Yeah, this is to make it a little bit easier for us to understand. If a child is out in the street and his mother slaps him, he's not going to run to a stranger. He will run to his mother. You see sometimes that, you know, the mother slaps him and he's holding on to her. He wants her pleasure. He's escaping from her anger to her pleasure because he knows that she is the most merciful, most loving to him. And if you, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, to Allah belongs the greatest example. That is what you need to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You run from Him to Him. So if there is an affliction, then you run to Him to seek refuge in Him, because He's the only one capable of helping you. And you know, the poet says, فَإِذَا ابْتُلِيتَ بِمِحْنَةٍ فَاصْبِرْ لَهَا صَبْرَ الْكِرَامِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَسْلَمُ وَإِذَا ابْتُلِيتَ بِكُرْبَةٍ فَالْبَسْ لَهَا ثَوْبَ السُّكُوتِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَكْرَمُ لَا تَشْكُوَنَّ إِلَى الْعِبَادِ فَإِنَّمَا تَشْكُرُ الرَّحِيمَ إِلَى الَّذِي لَا يَرْحَمُ. If you are afflicted by a disaster, wear the garment of patience and wear the garment of silence. Wear the two garments, the garment of patience and the garment of silence. Because this is safer and this is more honorable, more graceful, to wear the garment of patience and the garment of silence. Do not complain to al-ibad, to the people. For if you do, you are complaining to the one who has no mercy against the one who has all mercy on you. So you're complaining against the most merciful. You're going to abd to complain to this abd against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decreed this against you. That does not mean that you will not seek comfort, but you will not be complaining against the decrees. You could seek comfort in others, but you're not complaining to them against the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to know that He's the only one who can help. Also, another poet said, يَا صَحِبَ الْهَمِّ إِنَّ الْهَمَّ مُنْفَرِجٌ أَبْشِرْ بِخَيْرٍ إِنَّ الْفَارِجَ اللَّهُ وَالْيَأْسُ يَقْطَعْ أَحْيَانًا بِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَيْأَسَنَّ فَإِنَّ الْكَاشِفَ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ الْكَرْبِ مَيْسَرَةً لَا تَجْزَعَنَّ فَإِنَّ الْكَافِيَ اللَّهُ فَثِقْ بِاللَّهِ وَارْضَ بِهِ إِنَّ الَّذِي يَكْشِفُ الْبَلْوَى هُوَ اللَّهُ والله ما لك غير الله من أحد فحسبك الله في كل لك الله. So he says that the one who is distressed, the distress will be relieved, for the one who will relieve it is Allah, is the one who caused the distress in the first place. And he says to him, الْيَأْسُ يَقْطَعُ أَحْيَانًا صَحِبِهِ, despair can destroy the one who is desperate. Do not have despair, for Allah is the one who will undo the distress and relieve the distress. اللَّهُ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ الْكَرْبِ مَيْسَرَةً, Allah always brings ease after hardship. That's why Umar ibn Khattab used to say, two eases will not be overcome by one hardship. Because Allah says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. For verily with the hardship there is ease. With the hardship there is ease. So it is the hardship but not the ease. So it is one hardship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with the hardship there is ease. So the second one is the same one. So there is ease twice, multiplied for every hardship. So there will be ease coming after the hardship if you stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا ابْتُلِيتَ فَثِقْ بِاللَّهِ وَارْضَ بِهِ إِنَّ الَّذِي يَكْشِفُ الْبَلْوَى هُوَ اللَّهُ. If you are afflicted, have trust in Allah and be satisfied with Him as your maintainer, your Lord, your guardian, your disposer of affairs. وَارْضَ بِهِ, اِرْضَ بِاللَّهِ, have rida that He is your Lord, guardian, maintainer, disposer of affairs. إِنَّ الَّذِي يَكْشِفُ الْبَلْوَى هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهِ مَا لَكَ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ فَحَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ فِي كُلٍ لَكَ اللَّهُ. By Allah, you have no one to rely on but Allah. So let Allah be sufficient for you. فَحَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ, let Him be sufficient. Let Him be enough for you. فِي كُلٍ لَكَ اللَّهُ, after all, it is Allah that you will have. So that is also very helpful, to know that you are going to seek refuge from the one who caused the distress in the one who caused the distress, because he is the one in control. He is the one who brought it on, and he was the one who can lift it off. The next one is having higher aspirations and goals, having higher aspiration and goals. And this is extremely important, because many times we are consumed into our own interest, into our own ego, into our own self, into our own selfishness. We're consumed. So that you're quite distressed because you lost $2,000. And there are people, there are Muslims who are it is just pathetic, you know, because, you know, some people can be quite distressed because of so extremely trivial events, or you can't even call them afflictions or calamities. You can't call them anything. Trivial events that take place in their life can make them distressed, and there are those, you know, people that are dying of starvation. There are those people, you know, under occupation. There are those people who are losing their lives, and that is not distressing you. But if you live, you consider yourself to be part of this ummah, and let these issues distress you, your own personal problems will become very trivial in your sight. If I'm not telling you that you should listen to the news, 24 hours a day, but listen to some news, know something about what's happening to your brothers and sisters. And let these issues distress you to some extent, to some healthy extent, the extent that will motivate you to help, to stretch out your hand with some help to those afflicted. These are the types of distresses that are healthy. This is what the Prophet had. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, do not overdo it. Allah told them, لَعَلَّكَ بَخِرُ عَنْ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. You are, perhaps you will kill yourself out of grief because they do not believe. You see, his aspirations, his goals is to save humanity. As he said, that he is running after us, holding us from the waist, أَخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ, holding us from the waist so that we do not fall into the hellfire. So his aspirations, his goals, to save humanity. He was about to kill himself out of grief because they are not accepting the faith and they are not submitting to God. If you have similar, not necessarily to the point, to the degree of the Prophet ﷺ, but if you try to make of yourself someone who's bigger. In other words, your soul is bigger. Your aspirations, your hum, your worries about your ummah. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, your worries about your ummah, your worries about your people. Then believe me that the personal problems will become quite trivial and they will become easy to cope with, very easy to cope with. Because you see that, you know, if you feel that you are part of the body, when the Prophet ﷺ describes the believers as one body, if you believe that you're part of the body and then you see, if you believe that you're part of the body and then you see like one of the children, for instance, in the streets of any place, you know, I always remember Palestine because it's, you know, I'm from Egypt, so it's, you know, it's our biggest problem. But if you see like a child, you know, being shot in the street, and if you feel that this is your child, it will make a lot of things easier for us, by the way. It makes it harder in some respect, but it makes it easier. I think after you see this on TV, if the food is not well made, or if the food is not warm, you're not going to be upset with your wife. I don't think that you will have any energy to get upset over anything else. Okay, so I think that the issue here is that we're consumed into our ego, and if we put ourselves in the right place as part of this, part of the body, part of the bigger body, then our own personal problems will fall into the right perspective, and then you will put them in the right place. The next tip is to mix with the right crowd, the right people. I think it is extremely important for depressed people to mix with people, but mix with people who are going to help you, because there are people who can hurt you further. But mixing and mingling, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يقاله. Everyone follows the religion of his comrades, so let one of you choose carefully his friends, his companions. Choose them carefully. But you need to mix with people, and you need to be involved in activities. You need to be doing things to help out people. Your mixing with people will also diminish your own distress. If you go out to senior homes and help out some of the senior Muslims, you know, it will give you a lot of joy and a lot of pleasure that you can carry with you for the rest of your week. You know, if you go out just once a week and then bring some happiness to their hearts, that will bounce back. Believe me, it should bounce back. And if it doesn't bounce back, there is a problem, but it should. And then you should get a lot of this pleasure and happiness, and you should carry it with you for the rest of your week. You go back to them, you go to visit someone who's sick, and so on and so forth. So I think that all of these activities are excellent remedies for depression and distress. And mixing with the right crowd is extremely important. The next one is to try to be a minimalist as much as you can. And this is an advice for all of us, including myself. You know, don't buy things that you don't need. Just don't clutter your life. Because our life is so much cluttered, and by things and objects and goals that are, you know, sometimes not very not very wholesome at times, and not very, you know, important at times, etc. So don't clutter your life with these things. Abu Darda رضي الله عنه used to say, اللهم أني أعوذ بك من شتات القلب. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from شتات القلب, would be the dispersion or the diversion of the heart, and the dispersion and diversion of the heart. And then they would ask him, you know, your heart is torn and your heart is cut up and torn. They asked him, what is this, Abu Darda? And he says, أن يكون لك في كل واد مال, to have wealth or to have property in every valley, which means in every place. So have property here, property there, and wealth here. You have camels here, cows there, agricultural land, houses, etc. So he used to say, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شتات القلب, والله I seek refuge in you from the diversion of the heart, because these things all can divert your thoughts from the one objective. This does not mean that as Muslims we are not to own money. No, but as I said, the brother said, you know, one of the brothers said, the belief in predestination caused the Muslims to become so much behind. It did not cause the early Muslims who understood it well to become behind. It actually made them the builders of civilizations. You know, we say this over and over and over. They built civilizations. After they were conflicting tribes, the Muslims from all of the Muslim land that extended from China to Morocco, they built great civilizations. The former CEO of Hewlett-Packard said, without the Arabs, in other words, the Muslims, because they wrote in Arabic, so all of them were called Arabs, without the Arabs, we would have not had computers. Because without the Arabs, there would have not been algebra. Algebra is a Muslim invention, is a Muslim science. The canon, al-qanun by Avicenna, is always called Arab, but Avicenna was from Uzbekistan. But when he wrote the canon, he wrote it in Arabic, because it was a global language. They wanted to globalize their knowledge. So instead of writing in your local language, you write in Arabic, you go to Al-Hadd, a few manuscripts will be spread out from Indonesia to Morocco. And then your knowledge, within 1 year, can be benefited from Indonesia to Morocco, just by going to Al-Hadd and writing in Arabic and going to Al-Hadd, and then those manuscripts can be sent out to places as far as, you know, from Indonesia to Morocco. So the canon, by, you know, in the words of William Osler, the founder of the medical library, Oxford and Johns Hopkins professor, he said that the canon was the medical Bible in Europe more than any other book for 300 years. And there is so much to say, but they did understand it well, understand the creed of predestination well. It was a motivating positive force, not a negative force. And as a German orientalist put it, he said, it's amazing how the one creed of predestination made a difference for the Muslims, the earlier and the latter Muslims. For the earlier Muslims, it was the positive force, and it taught them about sacrifice, and it taught them about sacrifice and effort, putting effort into things. That's what jihad comes from, effort. And it earned them great victories and successes. But for the latter Muslims, it was a negative force that taught them indifference, laziness, until they completely departed from the caravan of history, or from history. They are out of... And this is true. To some extent, it is true that we corrupted the belief. The belief is for us to have this dunya and hold it in your hand and keep it away from your heart. But have it. You are commanded to have it. It is an obligation to have it. And now we said, and not only Nawawi, but I'm just as an example, he said that learning science and math is a communal obligation. Communal obligation. So these things we have to have, but you hold in your hand, away from your heart. You can be a billionaire. There could be a Muslim Bill Gates. there is no problem whatsoever. He could be a billionaire. But yet, all of this, no matter how big it is still in your hand, but it is not in your heart. In other words, you control it, but it doesn't control you. You control it, but it does not control you. So learn as much as you can to not clutter your life, to not have a lot of needs and wants and desires. You know, you can excel, you can be accomplished, you can be achieved, but don't have a lot of interests or needs and wants and desires, because they can certainly clutter your life. The next one, the next point is worship. Worship as a means of, you know, seeking comfort. And this is prescribed by the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet used to say to Bilal, "Arihna biha ya Bilal," give us comfort with it, O Bilal. Salah, the prayer, give us comfort. It is a source of comfort, but it is not any salah. If it is just going to be up and down, then this is physical effort that may not be desirable. But you know, just up down. But the salah that will be, you know, you get ready and you make your wudu and then you go and meet your Lord. That understanding behind it. You know, I'm getting ready now to meet my Lord, to speak with Him, to converse with Him, to dialogue with Him. If that is the sense, or if that is the sensation, or that's the feeling that you have before you embark on the prayer, then that prayer will be a source of pleasure and comfort. That is for sure. So, al-ibadah. And then, to excel in one type of ibadah. Try to have a type of ibadah that is most loved to you, or most likable, and then try to excel in it. Specialize in it. Specialize in this ibadah. Some people specialize in siyam. Some people specialize in zakah, fasting, charity. Some people specialize in, you know, the good works, of, you know, visiting the sick and these good works. But if you specialize in ibadah, that ibadah will be your best source of comfort. Recreation is also important. Recreation is important. Smiling, rejuvenation, recreation, trips, and so on and so forth. Because of qulub tamal, Ibn Abd al-Barr, fi adab al-majalis, reports that Ali ibn Abi Talib said, إن القلوب تمل كما تمل الأبدان فابتغوا لها طرائف الحكمة. قال ابن أبي طالب may Allah be pleased with him said that the hearts get bored as much as the bodies get tired. So seek for them wise tales of humor. Wise tales of humor. So there has got to be some humor. The Prophet ﷺ himself, the greatest and most important man in this whole universe, it does not belittle you to have some sense of humor. Because the greatest and most important man in the history of humanity had a sense of humor. And he would make jokes, and then like an older woman would come to him and say, talk to him about her husband, and he would tell her, your husband who has white in his eyes. And she says to him, no, he doesn't have white in his eyes, because white in his eyes meant cataract. Meant a disease, cataract, to them. And then she keeps on telling him, no, he doesn't, and he tells her, he has white. And then he tells her, everybody has white in his eyes. I have white in my eyes. You, everybody has white in his eyes. So it is to break the ice with this woman who is distressed, to break the ice. And his sense of humor was known, and he would race with Aisha. She would beat him once. He would beat her once. He would run with her. That's all recreation. That's all rejuvenation. That's all smiling. Smiling is a practice, by the way. Smiling is a practice. There are people who are always frowning. And this is not a good idea. Because this physical state will affect your emotional state. If your face is frowning, that will affect your heart. And the heart affects the face. It is both ways. You know, the Prophet ﷺ used to alert us to this fact often, you know, when he says, استووا لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم. Do not misalign, lest your hearts will be at variance. Do not misalign when you straighten up for the prayer. Do not misalign, lest your hearts will be at variance. So the physical state will affect your emotional state. So if you, and then the Prophet says, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. Verily, becoming knowledgeable is by seeking knowledge, and becoming patient is by practicing patience. So these things you can practice and learn how to do. So a little bit of a smile and try it, that would do you a lot of good, because that will start to then reflect on your heart. As much as your heart reflects on your body, the other way around can happen as well. And the next point would be about supplications. Supplications, that is extremely, extremely important, because that's your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many supplications that the Prophet taught us, particularly those who are distressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah An-Naml, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَهُ وَيَكْشِفِ السُّوءَ, which translates as such, or who listens to the distressed when he calls on him, and who relieves his suffering. One of them is the dua of Ayyub. It's such a great dua. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي, in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You say this, رَبِّ إِنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. So you repeat this with yourself. Oh Allah, I have been touched by distress or by harm and distress, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. You are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. رَبِّ إِنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِمِينَ. And you all know the affliction of Ayyub alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from this affliction. The dua of the Noon Aydan, the dua of Sayyidina Yunus Aydan, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. He said it in the womb of the whale, or in the stomach of the whale. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. There is no God but you. Glory be to you. I was one of the wrongdoers. Remind yourself also of this ayah that the believers used to say. This ayah can convictions do not just get acquired like this by mere mental exercise. You get a conviction, or you get like an established faith in something. It is practice. It is repetition, 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 repetition that grows your faith. So the more you say قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا, the more you will really believe it. You will really feel it. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا, which translates as, say, nothing shall ever happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He's our Lord and Protector. And in Allah, let the believers put their faith. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. He is our Lord and Protector, and in Allah, let the believers put their faith or their trust. So just to repeat it, لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Also, the same meaning. Allah is sufficient for me, and He is the best disposer of all affairs. All of these, just repetition, will help relieve the distress. Also, when the Prophet ﷺ walked into the masjid and found Abu Umama sitting in the masjid, and it was not time for prayer, he said to him, what is keeping you here? And he told him about his distresses and so on. He taught him this dua. He taught him this dua, to say it in the morning and evening. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-ham, worries, and hazan, grief. Ham, worries, that's about the future. That's an anxiety. Hazan, that's about the past. That is sadness, depression. Ham and hazan, worries and grief. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from ham, an anxiety, worries, and sadness and grief. Hazan. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْعَجْزِ وَالْكَسَلِ. Seek refuge in you from weakness and laziness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ. I seek refuge in you from cowardice and stinginess or miserliness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ وَغَلَبَةِ الرِّجَالِ أَوْ قَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ فِي رِوَايَةٍ. And I seek refuge in you from the burden of debt and being overwhelmed by men. Being overwhelmed, being under the control of man. So you should always seek to be only under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضَلَعَ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهَرِ الرِّجَالِ. I seek refuge in you from the burden of debt and from being overwhelmed by men. Another dua which is very, very helpful, and I can send those du'as to Mashhood and he can forward them to anyone who wants it, yeah, inshallah. Another du'a which is very helpful is the Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma inni abduka ibn abdika ibn amatik nasiyati biyadik madan fiya hukmak adlan fiya qadau. No, that's another one. But this is the du'a by the names of the names and attributes of Allah also. Which is a great dua to relieve the distress. Allahumma inni abduka ibn abdika ibn amatik. Oh Allah, I am your servant, son of your servant, son of your maid servant. Nasiyati biyadik, my poor luck is in your hand. Ma'adhan fiyya hukmuk, your decree upon me shall come to pass. Adlun fiyya qada'uk, your decree or your judgment or your decree upon me is all fair and just. I do not reject. أسألك بكل اسم هو لك. I ask you by every name that you have, سميت به نفسك, that you have given to yourself, أو علمته أحدا من خلقك, taught to one of your servants, أو أنزلته في كتابك, revealed in one of your books, أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك, or preserved it in the knowledge of the unseen with you, أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وتهاب همي. That you make the glorious Quran the comfort of my heart, or the pleasure of my heart, the light of my chest, and a relief from my distress and from my worries and anxiety. And the last here is the medicine and, you know, chemical intervention. Many times people try their best and try to work on it as much as they can, but yet there is like an obstacle that they just can't get around. And maybe chemical intervention in this case, maybe it could be helpful to intervene with Prozac, you know, Zoloft, Paxil, Lexapro, Celexa, all of these names. It's all about serotonin. And serotonin is a hormone that will affect your mood, that will elevate your mood. It's a mood enhancer. And all of these medications increase your serotonin. You can use those medications, but after you have done all of the aforementioned techniques to prevent and overcome your sadness, you still can use them. The Prophet ﷺ said, عليكم بالتلبينة فإنها تجم أو تجم القلب وتذهب ببعض الحزن. I prescribe for you تلبينة, which is boiled barley, for it brings comfort, تجم قلب المريض, for it brings comfort to the heart of the sick and takes away some of the sadness. Why boiled barley? You know, because that's what the Prophet said, so we believe it. But maybe part of it is that a lot of people now drink boiled barley, and it is sold, you know, for sadness, because barley has tryptophan, and tryptophan is a precursor of serotonin. So they sell it, you know, non-Muslims, they sell barley, and they advertise it as a mood enhancer. How do you make this talbina? It has tryptophan. Tryptophan is the main precursor of serotonin, and barley is full of tryptophan. And if you just Google barley and tryptophan, you'll find a lot of articles on this issue. How do you make the talbina? You boil the barley, until it's a bit thick, and then you add honey to it. And then you eat it once or twice a day, three times a day, you can. And it could be helpful as a source of serotonin. It is even better than the medicine because it's natural and it gives it to you over an extended period of time, and it is not like pulses, it is consistent. Yet, if that does not work, then the medicine certainly is indicated in this case. Before you do this, you have to implement all those techniques, and you have to also do some lifestyle changes. One of those is to eat natural food. To try to avoid the complex food that you buy from the supermarket. You know, one thing has like 200 ingredients. Try to be more natural in your eating habits. Eat more natural food, more fiber, less meat, etc. That certainly can have a lot of helpful effect on you. The leafy vegetables as well, they could help. So change your eating habits and eat healthy food. Healthy food grows on trees and in farm, in the land. It is not made in factories. So that is how you define healthy food. If it comes from a tree or from the land, then it's probably healthy, and it's probably good for you. If it comes from a factory, then you need to ask yourself how they made it. If there is too much process to make it, then the more complex it is, the less healthy it will be. Exercise is also extremely important. And this is an advice for me and you. Don't get offended. Losing weight is helpful. Losing weight is helpful to the psyche, to the mood, to your emotional well-being. So if you are somewhat overweight, it is advisable. And you all look good, mashallah, except for me. So alhamdulillah, that's great. But if one of you has a little bit more than he should have, then you want to lose this, because that certainly would have some help. Exposing yourself to the sun also is helpful. This is advisable. There is chemical relationship and a psychological relationship between sun exposure and the relief of the stress and depression. So exposing yourself to the sun is helpful. And that's why it is important for the sisters who do not go out to work that you as a spouse take them outside, make sure that they are not locked at home and that they get some form of recreation by just going outside with you. And, you know, going to the masjid. You know, the companions, if you made companions, used to go to the masjid for Fajr and Aisha. So just take your wife to the masjid for Aisha every day. And this, and then if you implement all of those techniques, you are, inshallah, you will be inshallah immune against the debilitating, handicapping depression or sadness. But you will not be immune against all kinds of sadness, because some of this sadness is prescribed. The motivating, the moving sadness is prescribed, and it is not condemnable in any way. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the distress of all the distressed and to bring us, you know, much needed comfort in our hearts, and to make our purpose in this life one, which is to earn His pleasure, and to make our pursuit in this life one, which is to get closer to Him and make that pursuit a successful one. JazakAllah khairan. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Shukran la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.